everybody. Thanks, Lynn, for that lovely introduction.
Thank you, Lynn.
I guess you guys can hear us okay? Hey, yay, good, yeah. I'm glad. When Larry was talking, I was getting a little bit of feedback, so I just want to make sure that we're okay. So anyway, we are here. This is our first night here in this new series, and growing with NTI. So we talked to Regina about what we might teach because we felt that we were to teach and to teach together. And we kicked around a little bit what we ought to be teaching, and we talked about NTI, and I was like, you know, a couple other folks were teaching NTI. I don't know. And then and she said, well, no, you've always been really fond of that of that book. And I said, well, I have. And I hadn't opened it for a while. And so when I opened it in contemplation of this teaching, I went, oh, my God, I love this book. So I don't think there's any question that that this is, if we're going to teach, this is what we ought to be teaching. And I'm really happy to be here with my husband, Tom. We I think that this will flow fairly smoothly for us. We often do exactly this. Yeah. Thanks, Teddy. It will be whatever it is, it will be what you need to learn. Absolutely. But as I say, we often, you know, read together and contemplate together and do that sort of thing. So I'm thinking that this will be a natural flow out of that. So I'm gonna quit rambling in introduction and allow Tom to say a few things in introduction.
Good evening, everybody. This is stepping out of my normal mode of understanding of the path, and I would first like to make clear that this is not a teaching. For me, this is a sharing. There's no I here that is teaching a you. It's just whenever I refer to I, I'm really trying to be clear that it is this consciousness, this particular point of consciousness that is expressing its experience. There's nothing that I'm trying to promote. There's nothing that I'm trying to persuade or anything like that. Like I said, this is not a comfortable position for me, so this is kind of like a stretch. I'm used to stretching, but not in this particular way. And so I appreciate the opportunity. This is, it shows up as somewhat fearful. I don't know if it is fear. I don't really need to know. I recognize the energy. We've called it fear, and if that's what it goes by, then that's what it goes by. But I can recognize the energy that is within. That it feels that there's a bit of a threat, and I know that that's really just the core belief of the I thought, that it is separate from a bunch of yous. Okay, so this is my attempt, an attempt to face that and to see the fallacy of that, and to experience that through this process. So thanks.
Okay, so let's just take just a moment for prayer, and I'll start with the prayer that I always start with in some shape or form, and that is that we be able to put our personal selves aside so that we can hear inner guidance. And that each of us here is able to hear what we need to hear, see what we need to see. Amen. Okay. So when we began looking at this recently again to determine where to start, it's been suggested that maybe we ought to just skip ahead with Luke, as I know the keys to NTI does. But I know some of the other folks who are teaching this skipped ahead. But when we opened it to Matthew, we went, "Oh my God, this is great!" So here we are. We're going to start with Matthew, and I guess we'll do this much like everybody else does, and that is to just, just start reading and see what moves us. Let me say before we start that that we want to make sure that you guys feel free to share, feel free to have a different interpretation and share that interpretation. Feel free to chime in with the same, idea. I mean, really, we just want to make this a collaborative effort, as it should be. So, again, just raise your hand, type on the board, participate however you'd like to do that. So, as you know, in the prelude or whatever it is in NTI, how to read this book. Let's see, the introduction, how this interpret. No, that's not it. I'm not sure where it talks about how you're supposed to do this. But at any rate, at the beginning, it talks about if there is a symbol to read the Bible, then it's best to read those verses first, and then read the Holy Spirit's interpretation. So thanks for turning on that light, man. That's real helpful. Our very first chapter, Matthew chapter 1, this is on page 11 of the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 25 has our little Bible icon. So I will read that. Now, I'll tell you that this Matthew chapter 1 is all the begats, right? It says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And it goes on for several verses. So I'm going to skip the begats, and skip down to, verse 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on, sorry, my light's not very good here. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Okay, so let's look and see at what NTI has to say about that. It says, Joseph had a question in his mind, and he was unsure about what he should do. Although he had a thought as to what he should do, he did not consider it decided. He left his mind open because he was unsure, and in his choice to remain open, he asked for wisdom, and the wisdom was given him. He recognized it and did as it asked. And, of course, the wisdom in the story was represented by the angel. And the decision in his mind was whether or not to go ahead. You know, they were engaged, and she turns up pregnant. And the question is, do I shun her? Do I send her away? Or do I go on through with the marriage? And the wisdom appeared in the verse as the angel, and said, "No, go through with it. This is the child of God, child of the Holy Spirit." Matthew chapter 1 verse 6 says, "This is a symbol for you to follow in all things. Ideas may come, but if you do not know they are of me, consider them not decided. Be open to new guidance, but do not worry if different guidance does not come. If you do not feel clearly that you are to do something different than that which you thought to do, do that which you thought to do and trust that it is from me." I see Teddy's telling folks that if they want a copy of the keys to NTI, they should message him with their address. Thanks, Teddy. That's very helpful. I don't think Matthew is in the keys. I don't actually have a copy of the keys to NTI. I have the original book. But yeah, that's real considerate of you, Teddy. Thank you. So this whole chapter one is really cool because, you know, often when talking to people about guidance, you hear the question about, well, how do I know it's guidance? You know, how do I know whether it's guidance or whether it's ego or, you know, I don't know guidance. I don't know how to discern what that is. And so this is just really sweet. And, you know, and that's the thing about this book, for me, it's just so gentle. It's just got such a heart to it. You know, it's like stop, ask for guidance, but don't fret about, ooh, am I getting guidance? Is this the same as the old guidance? Which way do I step now? What do I do? Calmly, right? Breathe. You know, it's kind of like the rest, accept, and trust, right? Just breathe and trust that what you feel to do in the situation is, in fact, the guidance, but be open for that to change. So I just think it's just a real sweet way of telling you that. It says, you know, if you don't feel clearly, if it's not really clear that you should be doing something different, then go with what you feel led to do and trust that it is, in fact, guidance. And, in fact, that's the only way to build that trust and guidance. Otherwise, you would always be questioning yourself, I think.
what I got from that was that Joseph, especially in that day and age, would have been very righteous or self-righteous to quickly be totally humiliated, feeling affronted abused as if someone was disloyal to him and had taken his honor from him, and just his willingness to not know what to do. He did not react. He was willing to step past the I thought. All those things are the I thought. The I thought is, how could she do this to me? Immediately, it's how could she do this to me? This is a treacherous but his willingness to not be sure left open the room for guidance to come in for something other than the I thought's immediate reactions to come in and make the decision on his behalf. So just his willingness to step past that I thought, that immediate reaction of, I am this, I am that, I am this, I am that, I am humiliated, I am dishonored before my people. Just the willingness to do that, I thought was immediately stuck out to me. And then at that last sentence, if you do not feel clearly that you are to do something different than that which you thought to do, do that which you thought to do and trust that it is from me. And for me, I think that is that it is never the actions it's not the actions. And I've heard a lot of conversation and sharing about, it's the motive. It's not the action that is taken. It is the motive behind the action. So that do what you would do, and it can always be used. As long as your motive, as long as the motive is pure, the action will be made relevant, not by anything that I can add to it. It will be made relevant by the purity of the self, and so that every action remains a jumping off point into truth.
Thanks, Tom. We're part of what we're doing on this maiden voyage here is also trying to get comfortable. And here we're sitting here in our study, and we're trying to get comfortable and figure out where we need to be. So if you all can, you can't screw it up. But if you all could let us know if you have trouble hearing us at any point, you know, I think it's it'd be nice if we could just sit here kind of naturally and not be crowded around this little mic. So let me know if you have problem hearing us, and otherwise we'll proceed. Okay. NTI Matthew chapter 2, the truth is shown through guidance. The entire route you are to follow is not revealed from beginning to end all at once, but it is revealed to you step by step. Trust your Lord, the God within, which guides you. It guides you now. Do not question, where is this taking me? Have faith, it is for the good of all and the purpose of oneness, and it will certainly bring you great joy. Oh, thanks. We sound great. This seems like at this point to me, this seems like a fundamental. You know, you just do what you're told. You're not like, this is all wrapped up in not looking at outcomes. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, but where will this take me? What will happen if I do that? And what will happen if I do that? You know, it's all a matter of trust. You just, as it says, it'll be revealed to you step by step. So it's just a matter of trust. Tom, you have anything you want to say about that? Shall we go on?
Yeah, no, I just think that if the I thought is shown the big picture right from the beginning, it's going to say, no way, this is my demise. So it's fed to me piece by piece, because the I thought, first of all, it feels so weak and limited and that it can't conceive of it of moving into such grandeur. I just feel like it's piece by piece, because or else it would feel too threatened.
Okay, NTI Matthew chapter 3. Once again, we are referred to read from the Bible. I'm not sure that this is the best version. I do have the King James Version here. And I will read Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Or chaff, I guess that is. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. All right. Let's see. NTI Matthew chapter 3 says, This is not a story of form. It is a story of mind. John is the observer, the one who told you sorting of thought is necessary. He is the one that called upon you to pay attention and choose a different way of thought. He pointed in the direction that would perform the sorting for you, to the one that would cherish and honor your thoughts of love while undoing permanently your thoughts that never were. He called this one the Son of God, and this one is in your mind, waiting for you to accept him now. Yeah, Lynn saying that must have been spectacular. NTI Matthew chapter 4, with the Spirit you shall examine your thoughts. With the Spirit you shall examine your thoughts. It is your true Spirit that will guide you to choose truly. Once the choice is made, the time of service will begin. It is in this time that a gathering will begin. You will gather around you that which is needed to serve, and the gathering shall be effortless and without thought. Once the mind has been cleansed, the following will be effortless. First, focus on the cleansing, and in peace you shall know that you are led truly. Yeah, and of course, you know, this is telling us all stuff that we know, that we've that we're told from any number of sources that, you know, that the truth is within us. But in order to see that truth, what's required is purification, right? We have to quit believing our thoughts that tell us that we are limited individuals, limited to a body and by the laws of the world. And we believe these things. We've been taught these things. That seems to be the evidence that we've had since birth, that we are limited, separate individuals. When, of course, we know the truth is, we are everything that is. We are one with all that is. We have all the power of the universe. We are not limited in any way, shape, or form. We're only limited to the extent that we believe that we're limited. Which is also testament to the actual power that we have. But in order to begin to participate in our birthright, in our experience of the wholeness and the fullness of who we are, we have to give up these thoughts of limitation. And we can only give up these thoughts of limitation by giving over the personal will and listening to the Spirit. And so, that's the separation of the wheat from the chaff that was talked about in the last chapter. It says, once the mind has been cleansed, the following will be effortless. So once we quit believing our thoughts are of separateness, of lack of limitation, then it's easy, right? Then it's easy to listen. It's easy to give over the will. It's easy to give up my own will and put trust in the Holy Spirit to lead us truly.
I'm looking at once the choice is made, the time of service will begin. It is in this time that a gathering will begin. To me, the mind has gathered all that it needs to. And to me, the time of service is not of the mind, service is of the heart. So to me, I kind of think of it as not abandoning the mind, but starting to clear out of the mind and to return to the heart, which is the source to me. So it seems, as I said, the mind is gathered and gathered and gathered and gathered, and now the gathering is just really a return. It's a return to the heart and allow the mind to be cleansed.
Okay. I just feel to remind you guys that that we'd like for you to participate if you'd like to. So if you have anything to add, please raise your hand. Let us know that. All right. Otherwise, we'll just ramble on all night. All right. Here we go. Matthew, chapter 5. Of course, these are the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they are already one with God. Blessed are those who have tired of this world, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the peaceful and joyous, for they will see the world as it really is. Blessed are those who seek truth above all else, for it will be given them. Blessed are those who forgive their evil thoughts, for they will find the light that is their true source. Blessed are the enlightened, for they know. Blessed are they who share my word in love, for they shall shine like beacons for all men to see, and they shall be recognized as the sun that is. Blessed are those who see only love in their brothers, for they know what they have found. Blessed is he who has removed value from this world and placed it in heaven, for he knows where his treasure lies. Blessed are the ones who know their Father, for they know the reason they rejoice. Their joy is one, because it is whole and complete as it has always been, and so it is perfect. Rise up today, my brothers, and hold hands within your hearts. Love one another, and in so doing, you give the gift of love to your Father. Be at peace and rest in contentment with one another. For all is well as only it could ever be. Peace abides in you today and forever. Amen. The world is meaningless. All that brings meaning to the world is you, for you are all there is. Your truth is your light. It is your truth that shall shine and be known, that all men may see their truth within you. And know it is within them too. The laws of men are based on the laws of God, that the laws of men are a reflection of truth and not truth itself. One cannot find truth by following the laws of men if there is hatred or fear in his heart. The laws of men must be followed in true love and intent for a witness to occur unto yourself. For when you have discovered the law within your heart, and you follow the guidance of true law that is shared from within, you follow the path of righteousness that will lead you from a focus on this world to the light of the kingdom of heaven. This sounds a lot like the Tao Te Ching, right? That basically says the same thing, that true righteousness it's just following the guidance that's within your heart. The law of men is written to protect men and to teach them to behave, but the law of the heart is beyond this world. It is like a path that you shall follow to higher ground. Its purpose is not to protect man from man, but to lead a man from his manhood to his true self, which is beyond the self he knows when he limits righteousness to the laws of men. Your brother is one with you in the heart, and so it is the heart that must be healed. Do not carry a grievance against your brother within your heart, regardless of what he may have seemed to do. Righteousness does not abide in the laws or customs of men. Righteousness abides beyond the laws and customs of men. Forgive your brother that you may love him again in the joy and happiness of the heart, and in your dance with him, you will find what righteousness is.
I would just want that. This has been something for me that that has been part of my experience. And when it says right at the beginning of that paragraph, your brother is one with you in the heart, and this is key right here. And so it is the heart that must be healed. And I, for so long, I've heard about having a healed mind, and that is the instrument that needs to be healed. For me, and this is just a sharing again. It's just from my experience. It has always been the heart that needed to be healed. My experience is that the mind is neutral. The mind is the quantum field where every single possibility of form can be made manifest, but it is only the heart that can hold an identity. The mind cannot hold an identity. It's neutral, and it is to be used. It is a tool. From my perspective, from my experience, it is only the heart that can hold an identity, and that my heart has gone on to be split. There's a split. Part of it is allegiant to the spirit, and part of it is allegiant to form. And so, to me, that's where the split has occurred. And it is just in the willingness to give up that allegiance to the form. And again, for me, I experience that in my heart and not so much in the mind. I don't find that my mind suffers at all. I have no suffering in the mind. It might shoot out a bunch of crazy stuff, but it's always is the heart going to accept it? Is the heart going to accept it as an offshoot of reality or a possibility of reality? And if the heart accepts it, illusion as a possibility of reality, then there is suffering.
Yeah, it's interesting. We both felt to speak, but did different things in this, in what we've just read, those last couple of verses. And I wanted to address that last part. Do not carry a grievance against your brother within your heart, regardless of what he may have seemed to do. Righteousness does not abide in the laws or customs of men. Righteousness abides beyond the laws and customs of men. Forgive your brother that you may love him again in the joy and happiness of the heart, and in your dance with him you will find what righteousness is. And for me, what this seems to be addressing is, you know, it's like the Course says, I'm not subject to any laws but the laws of God, right? And what we do, to me, this is talking about what we do and how we limit ourselves. We think that we have these concepts about how people are supposed to interact, and how I need you to behave. And if you don't behave, oh, well, I'm offended. Well, doesn't he know that, you know, people don't say that to you, or, you know, people don't say that to each other, or doesn't she know that when you give a gift, somebody ought to be thanking you, or, you know, whatever roles I want to put people in, and those people who would include me, right? The rules that I want to subscribe to, you know, that's all crap. None of that's true. Even though it's conventional, you know, it's the customs of men, even though we think that there are certain ways that people act in polite society, then we want to be offended. We want to be self-righteous. We want to go, well, don't they know how these things work? And it's that, no, that's not how it works. In everything, we are guided to turn within. You know, love one another, right? The greatest commandment, love one another. Don't expect one another. Don't expect, you know, gratitude. Don't expect people to do things the way that you think they ought to do them. So for me, this whole thing's really about letting go of concepts and leading with your heart, not leading with your head, not leading with the customs of men, but really, really being led by your heart. Okay. Where are we? We are Matthew chapter 5, verses 25 and 6. The one that judges the hatred you leave in your heart is but yourself. You cannot find joy within hatred, for hatred is like a prison, and the jailer is but yourself. Free yourself from the prison of pain. Let go of that which you think your brother has done to you. It is not important. It but keeps you imprisoned within a limited mind and away from the unlimited, which is but yourself. Let go of all your grievances against your brother, no matter how large or small they seem, for they are all the same, and each one has the power to keep you in prison from yourself. I mean, there's so much in that paragraph. You know, it's an extension of what we were just talking about, right? About how, you know, we want to go, yeah, but he didn't. Yeah, but did you see what, you know, so it's this. It pits me against you, brother against brother, right? It assumes that there are separate people. Separate people who are supposed to follow these rules set forth. And none of it's true. The only commandment is to love one another. And to the extent that you limit the love you have for your brother based on his failure to do something or based on the fact that he did something to you, you're cutting yourself off from that love that would otherwise flow between you.
Yeah, and Jack and I have been talking about this quite a bit recently, that the insistence on continuing to identify what appear to be others as people and not consciousness is, if I see people, it's only because I believe I am one. That's, if I see consciousness, then I'm aware that I cannot be offended, that I can, no one can take up arms against me, no one can harm me, but it is in that identification, in seeing, seeing others as people is just, it's just, it keeps me bound. And it keeps me a person. If instead I remember, and again, to me, it's always about vigilance because I feel like, again, everything that has needed to be gathered has been gathered. What's needed is the vigilance. So if I can continually see a mirror instead of a person, then I realize that it's my own self-hatred that I'm seeing. I'm always judging myself, and that's where, just like at the beginning, when Joseph sidestepped the I thought, if I can be vigilant toward that, then I do well.
Yeah, and I really appreciate this portion where it says, let go of all your grievances against your brother, no matter how large or small they seem. And that kind of speaks to that vigilance that Tom is talking about, because what we want to do is we want to kind of partially, I'm speaking from personal experience, what I want to do is I want to kind of partially do this stuff, right? Yeah, except, oh, that's unforgivable. That last thing that Tom did to me last week, well, that was unforgivable, right? There's no partial forgiveness, so the vigilance is important to be there all the time, not to think that I can keep this small grievance You know, I can be pissed off about he didn't take out the garbage again, right? I'd be pissed off about that. It's all the same. It's either unconditional acceptance or it's not. And if it's not unconditional acceptance, that's okay. But the point is, I have to recognize that. You know, Tom and I had an issue last week that where I felt slighted and was very unhappy, you know, and I'm fussing at him, and of course then he's very unhappy. and in the midst of that unhappiness, thank God, I was able to turn that over and just say, you know, I know this is not right, as it tells us in the Course in Miracles. I know that I'm not happy with the way that I feel. I know that I don't have to be unhappy. I know that I don't have to be suffering like this. And of course, again, that suffering was brought about, he didn't act in a way that I thought he should have acted, right? So I'm back in those rows. I'm back in the customs and the conventions of men. I'm upset with him. I don't think he should have behaved that way. And who's miserable? I am. I am the prison. I am in prison and I am the jailer, right? Because as soon as I'm willing to let that go, and not forgive him because, you know, he's an asshole, but I'll forgive him anyway. No, the minute I'm willing to take responsibility for the way that I feel and turn that over to Holy Spirit, to a higher power, to however you want to say that, the minute that I'm willing to do that, then I can be released. If I'm willing to sit with it and accept it as mine to let go, not as something he did. Oh, if only he would change, I would be happy. It's mine. I either limit myself and build the walls of that prison by believing that things are supposed to occur a certain way and he's done me wrong and he da 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 and all of that, right? Or I throw the prison doors open by my willingness to say, I don't want to feel this way. I'm willing to see this differently.
I think that's a really great point, and to me it really points at the insanity of that is spoken of in the Course in Miracles, of course, and that and how devoted and enamored of the I thought that we are, because I'd rather hold on to that I thought and be miserable than to let that I thought go, and let that I thought be humbled.
Thanks. I appreciate you saying that because, you know, so we're having this, we're riding along in the car and we're having this argument in front of Tom's sister, who's like, whoa, 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 please. And which was nice because, you know, it's like Holy Spirit going, aren't you guys forgetting something here? And at first, I want to be indignant. Well, how dare she tell me, wait a minute, it's not appropriate to argue in front of her. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to look at this again. And my initial thought is not, oh, gee whiz, I want to be holy. I want to let go of this stuff. No, my initial thought is daggone it. He should have behaved differently. So who the hell is she to fuss at me because of the way her brother acted, right? but really, like Tom said, it's just the willingness to be humble for just a second. If that can squeak in there, then you can let it go. And if you can't, you do it next time, I guess. But to the extent that you can maintain that willingness to use these opportunities as opportunities instead of opportunities for forgiveness, instead of opportunities to be right about who you think you are and who you think he is and what you think this world is about. You see the difference? It's everything. It's everything, and initially I was not willing, but I very quickly got it, and I think you know, we talk about this being called growing with NTI. I think I think I think that is growth. I think a couple of years ago, it might have taken me a day or two to get there, or who knows, a week or two. I'm just very grateful. Exactly. Do you want to be right, or do you want to be happy? Lavender writes. Yeah. Bonnie. Okay. All right. So let's look. Where are we? It says, this is Matthew chapter 5, verses 27. Verses 27, 28. The law of men is but a symbol for those who are not ready to accept the law of the heart. For the law of the heart is love. One who loves his brother will not think a hurtful thought about his brother. When hurtful thoughts come into his mind, he will let them go. For he does not want any thought in his mind that is not the thought of love. And it's, you know, that's really cool to have that be the next thing written here, because that's what I knew. After my initial, gee, I want to be right. Who do these people think they are, right? I knew that that's not where I wanted to be. I knew that that was not where I wanted to be. Where I want to be is in love. So as this says, when hurtful thoughts, and they were hurtful thoughts, when hurtful thoughts come into his mind, he will let them go, for he does not want any thought in his mind that is not the thought of love. In this way, his mind shall live in accordance with the law of the heart, and the prison doors shall be opened, and he shall be freed, joined and dancing in celebration with his brother. And, you know, and the rest of that story is really kind of cool, because we watched this thing unfold as we were visiting with his family last week. We watched it unfold, the rest of the evening. We went home. We talked about a little bit about our experience, what we had argued about. And then we saw his Tom's sister a little bit later. And we got to tell her what we each experienced, what we went through. You know, Tom, about how he felt when I started fussing at him, and what I was experienced when I felt rejected or whatever it was that I was feeling. And we talked about looking for underlying emotions and what's really going on, and how you're never upset for the reason that you think. And of course, his sister asked me at that time. She said, "Well, she's like, oh, you weren't really upset about this event that seemed to be happening." She said, "So, what were you really upset about?" And it was really cool, because again, it was like Holy Spirit right there in person going, "Stop, let's really look at this. Let's slow this down, Jacqueline. What was it you were really upset about? What belief were you holding that made you so upset over this seemingly minor incident?" And, and I was able to say very quickly, gee, it was my belief in rejection. I was feeling rejected, and that's why I was upset. He triggered this underlying belief that I have that I can be rejected, this fear that I will be rejected. And so it's just really cool to see all that unfold in real time, or close to real time.
Yeah. I just wanted to also just say, the law of man is but a symbol for those who are not ready to accept the law of the heart, for the law of the heart is love. And I think of the law of men as, that's basically like the letter of the law, following customs, following traditions, following rituals, following procedures, and demonstrating your agreement with the rest of the people, if you will, that this is the way it should be, and these customs are to be honored. While the spirit of the law is just the spirit of love, there are no conditions. I think of the heart as the great assimilator, that everything that goes through the heart is the same. It's either a call for love or a call to love. And the mind is an evaluator. The heart is the great assimilator.
Verses 29 and 30, letting go of your grievances towards your brother may seem to be letting go of yourself. For your own thoughts may tell you that you are justified in your anger or your caution for what your brother has done or may do to you. But I tell you that thoughts of justification are like poisonous prison food. Their purpose is to keep you sick and weak within the prison walls. Rise up within the health of your heart and let these thoughts go. Your goal now is freedom. And you will succeed in your goal by letting go of every thought that would keep you imprisoned. For the hellish thoughts within your mind are your prison, and only by letting them go can you be free. And yeah, and that's the real recognition. I mean, that's the growth where that's proven to been proven to me time and time and time again, that I have that ability to make myself miserable or to be joyous. I hold that within my choice as to what thoughts that I choose to think, and this knee jerk reaction to like defend the I. Well, who do they think they are? I'm the one that's right in this situation. That knee jerk reaction, that's all it is. It's just habit. It's the habit of protecting the self. It's at first it seems a very high hurdle. It's in fact still for me, and every time it seems a very high hurdle. That immediate pushback is like, well, hey. Wait a minute, who do they think they are? But after a moment, I'm able to remember that my purpose is not to defend my personal self as opposed to their selves. My thought is freedom from these hellish thoughts. And when I realize that that's my goal, then I'm able to give up the I thought. Then I'm able to give up the need to defend myself and my actions.
I would just, again, referring to the I thought, and I call it the I thought because ego seems a little too ambiguous to me. So I like to keep my the I thought close because When I speak of ego, it seems like I'm distancing as if there's this entity which I have no, which just shows up and I have no connection to. It's the I thought, and it's a choice, and I'm making that choice every time I do. And every time I invoke the I, I'm choosing to identify with this I thought, and it's... I lost my train of thought there, but stay with me for a second. I was talking to Jacqueline about, to me, the greatest currency for me right now is the currency of time. That's as far as money, as far as everything else. And I'm speaking of this because it's in regards to the I thought. If I am in the midst of constant action and interaction, to me it seems almost impossible to let go of the I thought. So to me, the greatest currency that I have right now is time. And that's why I love my job. Is I go and I work like hell for 3 to 3.5 months with my brother. And I go through hell for those 3.5 months. But for the rest of the year, I make enough money there to come back and to be able to sit and just sit with myself and let this I thought show its fangs and identify it. So for me, talking about this I thought, using the time to be vigilant, not to just let it just not to squander it.
Thanks, Tom. Listen to me. I am sharing the secrets of your imprisonment and your freedom. It is not my will that you be imprisoned. It is my will that you be free. Listen to me. accept my will as yours and open your prison doors. And again, that's just that willingness to turn within for guidance, particularly in the face of the I thoughts need to assert itself. I appreciate you guys hanging in there with us. I'm glad you're all still here. Do any of you want to say anything? Anybody have anything they want to share? Okay. All right. Well, let's read verses 31 through 32. We have a few minutes left. Let not the law be confusing to you. To follow the law without understanding it is useless. The law is not a law of behavior. What you do or you do not do in itself is not important. The law of God is written on the heart. It is a law that teaches there cannot be separateness. Only by joining with one will you know God, and only by knowing God will you know yourself. So do not go your separate ways within your heart. That is the way of the world. Walk together in your heart, joined in holding hands. In this way, you shall walk into the light and welcome yourselves into the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, wow, how powerful is that? It's really beautiful. It is really beautiful. Because if you recall, and what Tom was saying a while ago, you know, this comes right back around to that. And I'm always reminded of a teaching that Regina gave quite some time ago. She said she and Laurent were going through some relationship issues, and so they go to Holy Spirit, and they're like, you know, what the heck are we supposed to do now? And Holy Spirit's answer was, you have got to quit seeing each other as persons. And that's, you know, that's fundamentally what this is. So it's you really have the choice even at that level. You know, when we first start reading the Course in Miracles and all this stuff, and it says your problem is you think you're separate, and I'm like, I got lots of problems, but that doesn't seem like my problem, bub. Not that I'm separate, right? But what we find out is that is the problem. Because we think it's dog-eat-dog world. We think that there's a me that can be offended, that can be rejected, that can be betrayed, that me that's got to get mine before you get yours. We forget that there's just one. This law of God that's written on the heart, it does teach that there cannot be separateness. That's the law of love. That's the law that says, I got nothing to lose. I've got nothing to gain by putting you behind me, right? I can't lose in this thing. All I can do is open my heart. And here we are right up against the here we are right up against the hour. Tom, did you have anything you wanted to say before we left? Because we are. All right. Guys, thank you so much for being here with us. I love you, and we will see you next week, same time?
Next week, same time.
All right, and I'll let go of the mic. I love you all. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you so much, Tom and Jacqueline. And, wow, what a beautiful teaching and sharing, and I'm looking forward to many more of these.